You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
Well, can I be honest with you? Isn't that a funny thing to say? We say it a lot, don't we? We actually probably say it more than we even catch ourselves, but isn't it a funny thing to say, especially a pastor on Sunday morning? It's funny to say, can I be honest with you? I think when we say it, what we're trying to express is that we're wanting to be a little more vulnerable. Not that we're dishonest the rest of the time, but that we're kind of opening up and allowing you into a place that we might not regularly let other people in. Though sometimes the phrase can get us in trouble. I was in Kentucky for 5 years, and then we were driving in Indiana after having been in Kentucky for those years, and we were kind of on a back country road, and there was a car driving in my lane on a two-way highway, and I decided that they were going a little slower than I wanted to go, so I passed over into the across the center line, passed them, and came across, did not use my signal either time, and might have been exceeding the speed limit just a little. Well, wouldn't you know, just within moments, there are lights in my rearview mirror. It was an unmarked state police car. And so I'm pulling to the side of the road, telling my wife, I won't be getting out of this one. And he comes up, and he was not a happy man. And he said, do you know what you've done? And I said, yes, officer, I was speeding. And he said, and you didn't use your signal. And I said, officer, can I be honest with you? Oh, my. His face kind of tightened and scowled, and he said, I would expect nothing but. And I said, in Kentucky, people don't use their signals. They don't signal to turn right. They don't signal to pass people. And police officers don't even signal. And he looked at me, and he knew I was telling the truth, but he said, it's still the law. And he went back to write me my ticket. Let's be honest this morning. As we come to this question, what about other religions like Islam? Let's be honest about really what it takes to get into that question, not as a just an intellectual exercise, but actually moving into people's lives so that they might see the fragrance of Jesus Christ and they might learn and hear the gospel message that Jesus Christ has given his life for all men, all people, all over this world, but also so that they can experience it in our lives. Let's be honest and ask ourselves, are we willing to be transformed by the word of God in order that we might get beyond boundaries that intimidate us? Boundaries of different culture and boundaries of different religion. What about other religions like Islam was the overall question. Behind that question are a couple of questions. One is, what is the difference? How are Christianity and Islam different? We'll study that today and we'll look into it so that we can find opportunities within Islam to be able to interact and exchange and suggest to others what we believe. And also is this question of, should Christians share the gospel with someone, with others of different faith? And that's really a question about an apologetic question and a recent question of interfaith and ecumenical movement that would suggest that all faiths lead to the same place. We will ask ourselves what is distinct and specific about our Christian belief that would not allow us to say that everybody ends up to the same place, because we believe firmly in the person of Jesus Christ and that salvation comes only by him. Let's be willing to be honest and to be transformed. To do that, we have to have an approach. And I want to suggest to you that I think there are two basic approaches to interacting with Muslims or people of other religion. The first approach is really one of fear. And there are legitimate reasons to fear, correct? There are history in our own lifetime. We have seen things on TV. We have witnessed 9/11. It's legitimate fear. And it's a fear that hasn't been only experienced in our lifetime. It's been going on for centuries. but to move forward and to offer grace and Christ, we have to get beyond fear. Jesus told his disciples in John, as he's ready to leave this world, and they don't understand where he's going, and he's explaining it to them, but they don't understand, and he can see that they're upset, and they don't understand what the future is. They're getting anxious. They're getting fearful, and he says to them this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you know that is the most often repeated commandment in Scripture? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. God has never intended for Christian people to go through this life in a stance of fear. When we stand in fear, we tend to ignore or to avoid people of different religion and culture. When I was young, it was really easy to ignore Muslims because they were on the other side of the world. They really weren't with us. We'd see things on the news and it was very distant. And it was easy for the church to kind of ignore that whole aspect. I know that people weren't on the whole, but it was easy to leave it over there. You know what's interesting to me? God has already said that at the throne of Yahweh, the Creator God, there will be every tribe and nation gathered of every people group. There are still people groups in our world who have not heard the name of Jesus Christ and the grace of Jesus Christ. And you know where most of those people are? They are in the belt where Muslims live. So it's interesting to me that the Muslim community in my own lifetime has begun to move to us. I can remember the fear when the mosque went up in Toledo, Ohio when I was a boy. I can remember the statements that were made. I think God is bringing to us the opportunity to share faith because God doesn't want us to ignore them, and we can't go around and avoid them like Muslims don't exist. They are in our society. They are all around us. I ask you just to keep your eyes open the next several weeks to see how many Muslim people you are interacting with. Maybe you aren't talking with them, maybe, but see who's around you. The other way fear drives us is to aggress or to defend. But this isn't what God called us to. Matthew, Jesus tells us a Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and he says this about enemies. He talks about the nature of God. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, Jesus revealing the character of God, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Why? Because this is how your Father in heaven acts. Look, he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. So since God treats his enemies this way, people who defy him, people that shake their fist in his face, people that will not follow, we too are called to treat our enemies not in fear, but moving forward on the basis of love. To look to interact and engage with people different than us that they might know who Jesus is as he's revealed through the Bible, through the Word. I think if we could capsulize that in just one statement, it might be this. Build relationships and find bridges of understanding. Build relationships and friendships just like we would any other person, and then find ways that we can communicate well the message of who Jesus is. I think this is exactly what Paul did. I want to offer you two passages of Scripture, one that Paul wrote, one about him, that I think help us to see that to build relationships with Muslim people and to find bridges of understanding is the very pathway of expressing love to people who need to know about Christ. Paul devoted himself to reaching people with the gospel message. He surrendered his own freedoms to reach others. He was an outreaching person. God had called him to the ministry of reaching out to Gentiles, people of all kinds of different religious backgrounds. And Paul says this about his own freedoms, this about his own position. He is redeemed through Christ. He is a messianic Jew. He is a Christian man. He has been transformed and changed, and he knows himself as the Son of God in the sense of being adopted as his son. He's all good, but he says this, though I am free, I belong to no one. I have made my slave. I have put myself in a place of submission. I am looking out for the care of the other person. I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I love this about Paul. Look what he says. To the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jew. Well, Paul's Jewish, right? How does he do that? Because Paul is Christian. He has moved. And as a Christian, he understands Jews. So when he's with Jewish people, what does he do? He enters in the custom of Jewish people. He enters into their traditions. He does the things that Jewish people do. Why? So that he might win some. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though myself am not under the law, so as to win the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am free from God's law, but and I am not free from God's law, but under God's law and under Christ's law. Let me read that again. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law, the Gentile people. This is one I love. Think about how strong a person Paul is. He is zealous. He is opinionated. He is strong. To the weak, I become weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this, all this for the sake of the gospel message so that people can know who Jesus is, that I might share in the blessing and joy of seeing people understand Jesus for the first time. You see, Paul building bridges, building relationships. I should say building relationships, entering into other people's worlds so that he can become like them. Moving forward in love, Paul relates a story, or I should say Acts chapter 17 relates a story about Paul in Athens. Paul is in Athens, and as he is, he looks for opportunities to share the gospel with religious people. We ask the question, should we share our faith with people of other religion? From the very beginning of Christianity, it was a faith being shared amongst other religions. It was not a blank slate. It was not a bunch of atheists and agnostics only, which is, by the way, another form of faith. Rather, it was multiple religions that were being witnessed to about the truth who Jesus was. Paul was witnessing to religious people. Look what he says. Look what's said about him in Acts 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, now who are the them? They are Timothy and Silas. If we were to go back, we would see that first Paul went to Thessalonica, and when he shared about Jesus in Thessalonica, the Jews in Thessalonica drove him out. They didn't like his message. They drove him out of town. So he went to Berea. In Berea, he found people of a different character who were willing to look at the scriptures and study and, in fact, accept the word about Jesus Christ. But the thugs from Thessalonica came down Berea and drove him out again. Timothy and Silas were left in Berea, but Paul had to escape to Athens. He's not planning to be in Athens. He had no business in Athens. It might be a time for respite, right, after being beat up so much. But what does he do? While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. Mark this down. Paul felt a burden for the people. I think it's so easy to depersonalize people that are different than us, who have different dress, who eat different food, who speak different language. It's so easy to think of them as them. Friends, Muslims are people. They are people. They are people created in the image of God, and God wants to get the message of grace and love to them just like he does anyone else. And Paul, in this place that he did not expect to be, was motivated and urged to share the message. As he shared that message, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him in the marketplace. And some of them said, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remark he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and Anastasis. Anastasia. It sounds like a name, doesn't it? Anastasia. They thought they were gods. Jesus was one god. Anastasia was another. They thought that's what he was talking about. So they invited him into the Areopagus. When he gets invited in, we learn from his speech that Paul had learned what he could about their beliefs. This is important to understand as we talk about building bridges, finding bridges. Paul learned what he could about their beliefs. Look what he says. Paul then stood up in the meeting. He said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription." Can you picture him looking at all of the different idols, reading all of the inscriptions, looking for that place of connection point, studying? "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." He understood their faith so that he could share the good news of the gospel message. And then he leveraged what he learned to present that gospel in a way that his audience could understand it, in a way that they were already thinking. Look what he says. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands." You can picture the temples all around them, the idols all around them as he's speaking. "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For from one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him." He's talking to people who he wants to seek God, "so that you, my listeners, would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, for he is not far from any of us. For we in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said. We are his offspring." See a place? You see where he learned, where he could build a bridge? And now he leverages that bridge. "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design or skill. In the past, God overlooked this ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has sent a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given this proof to us, to everyone, by raising him from the dead." Paul saw the people. He had a burden for their salvation, a burden for their need. He learned about their faith system so that he could find places that he could introduce them to the person of Jesus. So let's learn about Islam. First of all, everybody, if you would, put your hand out with your five fingers in front of you, and then just wiggle your index finger, if you would. Every five people in the world, the one that you're wiggling is a Muslim. 1/5 of the population of the world is Muslim. Islam is the title of the religion, and Islam specifically means submission to God, to submit to God. Al-Ilah is the God. And when you run it together, it comes out Allah. Allah is the God. That is how he is understood. And the God is transcendent above all things. Our God, he has many names, but our main name for God is Yahweh, I am. I was asked this weekend, is this the same God? There's discussion in many religious circles about that. I want to say clearly, we don't think so. We believe Yahweh has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to us to let us know about him. In AD 610, Muhammad began to receive messages from an angel. He identified it as Gabriel. He had separated himself from his society because it was polytheistic, and he thought there was only one God. And so he would go off into caves and caverns trying to get away from everybody with this, the business of the of this religious aspect, so he could think and contemplate. And in AD 610, he began to have visions of an image of a being. He didn't know how to define that. His wife, who was 14 years older than him, helped him define that as Gabriel, the angel. And then for the next 22 years, he received these visions, which he would hear the word of Gabriel and he would recite the words. That is what the word Quran means, recitation. It is the recitation of the words of Gabriel coming from Muhammad, then learned by his followers, that were eventually recorded down in Arabic. Muhammad is referred to in Islam as the seal of the prophets. He is, in their mind, the last and greatest of the prophets. Recognize that Jesus came at 0 AD, right? And now, 600 years later, Islam starts. Christianity is well on the scene. His life is known as the Sunnah, or the trodden path, and is followed by Muslims as the perfect example for obeying Allah. You submit, and so you submit to the pattern of the greatest prophet, Allah, in order to live his life. Now, isn't it interesting? We have just sung this morning, "I will follow you." When the good times are going, I will follow you. When the hard times are going, we've just sung that. Why do we sing that? Because we are seeking to follow in the steps of, just as Peter taught us, to follow in the steps of our Lord Savior. He called us to come and follow me. One thing I think we need to be very conscious of if we begin to interact with Muslim people is not to criticize and put down Muhammad. Think about someone criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a pathway. You can acknowledge, you don't necessarily have to believe or respect, but you can acknowledge the impact that Muhammad has had on our world. In just 22 years of his life, starting at age 40, he impacted our world in a great way. Islam recognizes multiple prophets, including Ibrahim. Ibrahim. Do you suppose we have any ties with Ibrahim? Abraham, right? You can help me with these. You'll probably recognize them. How about Musa? I hear it, low level. Moses, right? Be confident. Okay? You know this one. Dawood? David. And how about Isa al-Masih? Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah is in the book of the Quran. Jesus the Messiah is recognized as one of the prophets of God. Jesus Messiah is of virgin birth. Jesus Messiah performed miracles. Jesus Messiah was not crucified on a cross, according to the Islam faith. God took him up into heaven so that he would not bear the cross, and someone that looked like him took his place. He has never returned in their minds since then, but will return on the last day. Do you see bridges? I see bridges. I see places where we can begin to talk about Abraham and Moses and David and Jesus. There are five pillars to the Islamic faith. These are the main things that they focus and do and practice. One is the witness, the shahada. 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 And that is simply this statement: there is no God but Allah and Muhammad as his prophet. There is no God but Allah and Muhammad as his prophet. If you will declare that by faith, you are now Muslim. Christianity, especially in the 80s and the 90s, we used to talk about repent, believe, confess, receive. You repent of the sinner, that you recognize yourself as a sinner, you believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, you confess your sin and accept him to receive salvation and the Holy Spirit. They would say, all you have to do is say this phrase. There's actually something very similar to it called the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, with all of you. The second main aspect of the faith is prayer. That's what we're very familiar with, Shalat. We see this on the news. We see people on their beads and the bowing and the process, the call to prayer from the mosques. What you may not know is those are recited prayers in Arabic. Some of the people don't know what they're saying as they recite the words. They aren't praying like to a personal God like we would pray with our concerns and in a language that we understand. Rather, they're reciting the prayers that were given to Muhammad. There's almsgiving, the zakat. It's charity that's given amongst the community so that other people can be encouraged along the way. 2.5% of your income. Fasting is siyam. We know this as the month of Ramadan. Why that month do they fast? Because that is the month when Muhammad received his first vision of Gabriel and his first recitation. They fast before sunrise, they eat. They fast the entire day, and then they eat again after sundown, after the day is closed. They do that for an entire month and then celebrate afterwards. And then finally, the fifth pillar is the pilgrimage, the Hajj, to Mecca at least once in your life to follow in the steps of Muhammad. It's a very much a religion based on doing things. You submit, you do, you learn, you recite. There are five doctrines that we can know. Allah is all powerful and he is all knowing and he is practically unknowable because he is so transcendent. This morning, again, we've sung words about God's kindness, about God's mercy, about relational terms, about what we're expressing to God because of who he is to us. Allah is seen as other. Allah has sent many prophets to get his word to us. He wants us to know what he thinks. 28 are recorded in the Quran. Many more are accepted. The Quran is the eternal word of Allah. The Quran is as eternal as Allah is. The Quran in your home sits on the highest shelf in the house, and it's called the Holy Quran. It is not carried below the waist. It is carried above the waist. There are many rules about how you treat this eternal book and how God protects his own book. But they also believe in other inspired books. The Tauret is our Pentateuch or the Torah or the first five books of our own Bible. The Zabur is the writing of David, the Psalms, and the Injil are the Gospels of Jesus. Places that we can connect. Jinn are both fallen and good and fallen angels. And the master of all jinn is Shaitan. And that, of course, is Satan. Different role than what we see him as. But if you've ever seen a picture of a good angel and a bad angel on the shoulder, that comes from Islamic belief. There is a day of judgment coming, a resurrection, an eternity of heaven and hell. If we learn and know these things, we begin to find places where we can have conversations and build relationships with Muslim people. How can we effectively live out the gospel with Muslims? I want to be honest with you. First of all, I want you to know that after that officer left and went back to his car, I was shocked when he brought me back a warning. And it made me understand that in relating my story and telling and being vulnerable to him, he did find a place to include some mercy for me. And I'm asking the same from you, because if I'm truthful with you, I've only begun to develop relationships with Muslim people in the last several weeks for the first time in my life. So I've asked Rob and Martha Manlove to come and join me because they've been doing this all their life. And I wanted you to hear from people who are doing it on a regular basis. Go ahead, you can see. I want you to hear from people that are doing it on a regular basis about how we can begin to get involved with Muslim people. First, just let us know how you first get in touch with Muslim people. How does that become part of your life at first?
My experience growing up, I had a lot of experience with international people. And then professionally, that kind of led to a professional career working with international people. And this first slide shows the first group of, a large group of Muslims that I worked with that were from France. And then after that, I now currently work with the oil industry out of the Middle East and Northern Africa with executives.
So you have a lot of contact even at work. That's great. How about you, Rob? How do you first get in contact with Muslim people in your life?
Can I be honest with you?
That's the first you did that. That's pretty good. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought about that. For me, I come from a different perspective than what Martha does. I grew up as a military brat. I lived in Libya at age 5 and 6. Mm. We were there when Gaddafi led his coup and overthrew the government, overthrew the royal king.
An intense time.
Very intense. I went on to be raised in a very strong Christian home, went into the Air Force myself. After that, I eventually joined the Allen County Sheriff's Department. All of this adds up to one thing, being a patriot. And being a patriot on 9/11 led to what everybody out here probably felt at one point, a lot of anger over what happened.
Including me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how do we go beyond that? How do you take that anger and turn it into something other than anger? Mm-hmm. You don't. That is where God comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit works. Mm-hmm. For me, the Holy Spirit opened a window just a crack. And then through Martha's work, he opened the window all the way. Mm-hmm. And several months later, he opened the door.
By building these relationships.
By building relationships.
Yes.
One person at a time.
Yeah.
And the only way you can build a relationship with anybody is to extend a hand and say, hello.
Yeah.
I'm.
Yeah. It's that first step, isn't it? Where we get over that fear and we act in love and we invite and begin to make that transition. This picture here represents someone who's doing that very thing, right, Martha?
So we want to build relationships and find bridges of understanding and move through learning and move towards learning. And this is a great illustration of someone in our own ECC family that actually is here today. And this is the Dean family who homeschools, and they wanted to move towards understanding. Well, how do you move toward understanding? You invite someone in. So that's a risky thing, and there's some fear there. They invited some Muslim gals to come over, and the understanding they shared was they learned how to do hijab, the head wrap together. And they built bridges of love. That's Maddie Dean there, and she painted those beautiful heart pictures for the girls. Yeah. So just building relationships.
Hijab. Isn't it great to see Maddie willing to move into someone else's world and try that on? That's a great example. Well, other ways are really very relational that you've invited Muslims into your lifestyle. Tell us just some ways that you interact with Muslims on a regular basis.
Well, through Martha's work, we have men coming from Libya with their families, never been in the United States. Mm-hmm. They're coming from what is now a war-torn, ravaged country through ISIS and governmental forces fighting against each other.
Exactly. What a great need.
And when they arrive here, they have to find some place to live, mm-hmm. but they also need transportation.
Yeah.
So I will take the men out and go car shopping with them. And of course, there's a lot of sticker shock and a lot of culture shock because things over there are a lot less expensive than they are here. But it is that one first step in introducing yourself and then taking the time out of your day or out of your weekend or out of your evening to go out with these gentlemen and go shopping.
Yeah.
You earn the respect to begin to talk about other things.
What a great way to maybe take a first step if you were really wanting to transform your life to say, I'd just be willing to give somebody a ride.
Exactly.
What a great way. Right. Martha, any other specific things that you've really been involved with where you can say we've really seen some success in our relationships as we've moved
along? Well, definitely having the opportunity to invite them to things here at ECC has been a great joy for us to have them come and participate in the men's activities, the football event, and they come to all the holiday services. And we connect on those different ways, and so that brings a lot of joy for yes. our relationships.
So all that about relationship, I just hear you really inviting them into your life and being part in relationship. They don't become them anymore, right? They become us.
Yeah,
definitely. And that's great. Rob, tell us one last thing about what you're seeing, some things in the Middle East that are happening today, just to encourage us about the power of the Word of God.
In the Middle East today, we're all probably familiar with what we see on the news. Several countries are in civil wars. They're fighting against their own people, brother against brother sometimes. We're all familiar with the nation of Iran. We believe Iran to be a terroristic nation, very, very strict Islamic law. But yet, when you start to study Islam and you start to look at the Middle East as a whole, what you will find is a group of individuals, generally from the age of 16 up through about 25, mm-hmm. who are beginning to experience the Gospels, mm-hmm. not from the Islamic point of view, but from the Christian
They're looking
point of view,
into...
and they are actively seeking out something other than Islam. Mm. And this is while Iran is across the ocean, this is a bridge that we can also use right here in our own community.
Sure.
Because if you go out in your community, you may have a neighbor that's a Muslim. You may have a doctor that's Muslim. Mm-hmm. So we have to take that first step.
Yeah.
We have to get rid of the fear and let God fill us with what He wants us to do.
And I think that's the key, right? God wants to reach
exactly.
Muslim people.
Right.
God's already doing it even where we can't be involved, and so certainly He will do it through us. Hey, thank you so much for coming and sharing about how you've been involved with Muslim people, and we encourage you to just keep doing it and loving on them in Jesus Christ. Will you thank them for us? So this last week, I've had more contact with Muslim people than in my entire life. Rob and Martha invited me to have lunch with Nizir, their friend, and so I got to meet and talk with him. But he invited, because he knew we were getting together, and he knew I was a pastor. He felt a little intimidated by that, so he invited his imam. And so Imam Nuhu and I had a discussion where I asked him a lot about the Islam faith, and I want to just share some things that I can learn from Muslim people about my own faith. The first is this. We need to know our word, and we need to know our creeds. Because Muslim people want to know that you really believe what you say you believe. And if you don't know the words, and if you don't know your creeds, you've lost the legitimacy of your faith in their eyes. I encourage you, spend time in your word, spend time in the creeds, know what you believe so that you can share what you believe with others. And the second overwhelming experience for me personally has just been the beauty of the message of the gospel. I don't have to recite. I don't have to mimic. I don't believe that we're going to some nirvana someday or that we'll be reincarnated. Rather, the gospel message has, from God's position, provided a way for all of us to have redemption and eternal life for all time through His one and only Son given to die on a cross to sacrifice for our sins that we might be His people redeemed forever. I can't think of a more beautiful picture and something that could not be invented by humankind. It makes me proud to be Christian and to know I have something to share with a world who doesn't know my Savior and Lord. You may have other responses that you have personally. We'd love to see or hear about those today through your e-card, or you may have other questions about this topic, and we will respond to those on Tuesday as we have during this entire series online. So if you would like to record those questions on your e-card, we invite you to do that. Finally, Christianity is distinct from all other religions in that we believe in a triune God with Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, God himself embodied. God, Father, Spirit, three persons, one God. Christianity is unique in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a salvation offered freely to all because God desires that all would come to him, and it is personal and it is relational. We walk with God throughout this life, and then we spend eternity with him. One last thing I'd like to share with you is actually on the back of your notes, where we have the walk the talk questions. You'll see information about a class called Bridges. We are going to offer Bridges during our first midweek session, and during that you can learn a lot more about the Islam and Muslims and be invited to take more of a journey in reaching out to Muslim people. We're doing that alongside Black Hawk Church, and they are going to do the same study at the same time. And then the 6th week, we're coming together to join with them in the study. And then in October, together, as churches unified, we are going to the International House to tour and to minister amongst Somalians who are Muslim in belief. So we invite you to begin to build relationship and to bridge and find a bridge of understanding. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the challenge of this message and how challenging messages change all of us. But God, I have the privilege of them changing me first. So God, I'm thankful that you have helped me to see some of my own prejudices and my own fears. And God, I pray that you would help me to walk in love. And I pray, God, that your body, the church, would walk in love, not only here at Emmanuel, but universally, that you would prompt us by the Spirit to remain people who extend to those outside of our faith, that they might know Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would do that, and we know that you are doing it, but we pray that you would bring all people to yourself according to those you have chosen. We pray, God, that as we stand in glory before you for all time, that we will just know the goodness in a much more intimate way. Lead us to that day and help us to take others with us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.